Our text for this morning's meditation is from Romans chapter 6, these words, "But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed?" So our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our text for this morning's meditation would encourage us. It would encourage us to see the connection between sin and suffering. I know. This is not a popular topic. In fact, I've never preached on it before. Ever. And the reason I have never preached on this topic before is because it is somewhat anathema. That is a discussion of the idea that sin causes suffering is forbidden popularly. I mean, since at least the 1970s, the idea has arisen among us that our own actions, our doings, our decisions really have absolutely nothing to do with whatever pain and suffering we might experience in our lives. Listen closely. I don't want to be misunderstood. I don't want to be misunderstood. Here's an example. A drunk driver is killed in an auto accident. Happens thousands of times every year in America. It's obvious that the overuse of alcohol is the cause. And yet it is simply explained away. Well, he had driven countless times, being so inebriated, without incident, so how can we say that his drinking this time was the cause? And even if it was, alcoholism is a disease, so something over which he had no control. And even if he was not an alcoholic, he was going through a rough patch in life and was just seeking a little comfort that got out of hand. So how can we say that his excessive drinking, his sin, caused his death? See how this works? It's bad luck. Fluke. Less extreme example. You enjoy poking fun of people on Facebook. When one of your friends posts a picture or a quotation, for example, you always like to have some fun by coming up with a witty comeback, a remark, a response. Yes, sometimes they're a bit snarky, your comments, sometimes even a bit mean. Sometimes they make your friend seem to look like an idiot to the world, to the entire world of Facebook. Well, one morning, you log on to Facebook and discover that your friend has unfriended you. And immediately you think, what's her problem? She's so sensitive. She's always been that way. I mean, it couldn't have been because of any of my comments that she unfriended me. Another. Rarely do we make it to work on time. We never respond to emails sent to us by our manager. In fact, we talk about our coworkers and our manager behind their backs, making fun of the way they dress and all sorts of other things. Our own work is sloppy, constantly, haphazard. We miss deadlines. We're warned on a number of occasions, but ignore those warnings. I mean, we can't help it. We can't help it that the company is full of idiots and our manager is a fool. And still, we're surprised. We're surprised when there's someone sitting at our desk one morning with a box waiting to escort us from the building. Now, all three of these examples of the effect of sin upon our lives, are difficult. They're difficult to listen to. They are. They're difficult to listen to because ultimately we do not want somehow to take responsibility, it seems, in any way, shape, or form for the sinful ways in which we can behave, going so far as to explain them away, deny their effects, or completely disregard possible consequences of our own actions. Yet what does our text say? What does our text say? Our text from the Holy Word of God, it talks about the fruit of sin, the ultimate fruit of sin, and that is death. But what is suffering? What is losing a friend or losing a job or losing anything we value in life, if not a mini death, a fruit of sin in some way. And the problem is that if we do not see a relationship between sin and the consequence of sin, if we have no way, we then have no way to check ourselves when it comes to the expression of sin. And then what do? Well, we keep on doing the same things. We keep on saying the same things. We keep on thinking the same things. And we continue then to suffer and throw up our hands in the air in exasperation, crying out, "What's happening? Why are these things happening to me? I'm just trying to be me. One bad thing after another keeps happening." Well, the simple answer to this situation we find in our catechism. God threatens to punish all those who transgress these commandments. Therefore, we should fear his wrath and not act contrary to them. So, common sense. We don't want to suffer, then we should really try to identify the cause of our suffering, which so often really is just sin, our sin, the fruit of the sin within us. For if we think we can think or say or do anything we want without consequence, without effect, without reaction, we're denying this connection between sin and the fruit of sin. And we certainly aren't living a life of repentance, a life in which daily we identify our sin, that is, acknowledge and confess our sin. And when that occurs, what happens? Well, two things happen when we do this. Turning to faith in Christ, acknowledging our sin, confessing it before him, God forgives our sin. But then not only does God forgive our sin, but then God works to cover up the effects of our sin. Throwing a blanket over sin is how Luther describes it. In order then that we don't suffer further from our sins inordinately. But how can God do that? How can God not punish us for each and every infraction of the law, of his law? I mean, isn't God just waiting to do that? Isn't he just waiting to punish us? Well, I think some people think that way. A line in a comedy a few nights ago on television was this: "I'm a good Irish girl, so that means I love God, and God hates me." Now, that was insightful, that girl's admission of how she viewed God, her situation before God. She had been taught to love God, but she ultimately believed from everything around her and culture in which she was that God was out to get her. And that is how all of us can come to view God, that he is watching and waiting to punish each sin which we commit. But he already has done that. He already poured out his wrath upon sin, upon our sin, in the suffering and death of his son, Jesus Christ. It's on the cross that Christ suffered the punishment for our sin. And so it's in our confessing of sin that the punishment of Christ is credited to us. It is credited to us so that when we sin, we can be forgiven and are forgiven. For God, our loving Heavenly Father, is all about, like we say today, he really is all about forgiveness, about the forgiveness of sin, about the forgiveness of our sin. And what is more, like the Good Samaritan, God always works on caring for us and healing us from the effects of sin, helping us to recover when we have so suffered, strengthening us to continue when we have so fallen, encouraging us to forge on when there seems like there's no reason to. How difficult is it to live through the after effects, the consequences of sin? It's only possible with the comfort and strength and courage provided for us by the Holy Spirit of God. So our modern problem, even our modern problem as Christians, is that we hesitate to call sin what really and truly is sin. And when we hesitate to do so, when we refuse to confess that which we should before our Father in heaven, then ultimately that sin is still in play. And its fruit is about to bust out and wreak havoc in our lives, a havoc that could have been avoided, a fruit that did not need to appear. So I suppose by now, the thought is floating around in heads, "Oh, okay, Pastor, So our lives as Christians is that of looking for the cause of our suffering in the sins that we have committed. No, it's not. It's not. Sin is normally too complex for that. And not only are we affected by our own sin, but also by all the sin of those around us. That's what Luther discovered, the complexity of sin, when he tried to confess every last sin he'd ever committed, returning to the confessional booth even after leaving it, forgetting one or two things that he remembered on his way back to his room there in the monastery. No. The point is not to try to identify every little setback in our life as stemming from something that we have done. The point is not to try to identify every little setback in our life as stemming from something that we have done. One more time. The point is not to try to identify every little setback in our life as stemming from something that we have done. The point is simply acknowledging that our sin can have consequences. And that being the case, we should not continue in sin we know to be sin, but simply have disregarded it, thinking that it doesn't matter, it's forgiven, and God will cover up any problem caused by it. No, daily we need to be cognizant of what we say and do and think, realizing that sin does bear fruit, the fruit of suffering and pain and anguish, much of which can be avoided. Can be avoided if the sin involved is not committed. So do we need to live in fear of saying or doing or thinking the wrong thing? Well, no. The point is simply we need to live knowing and acknowledging and even confessing that there are, in fact, wrong things to say or do or think. And for the Christian, this should be no big thing. In fact, it is our life. It is the life of Christ. It's the death of Christ, suffering wrong for the wrong that we have done. But if we say we have no sin, then, well, the wrong that Christ suffered is not ours. And not being our wrong for which Christ suffered and died, there's no forgiveness for that wrong, nor the need to cover it up, because it isn't wrong. But that's nothing but self-deception. Nothing but self-deception. Delusion, denial, that ends in nothing but despair, fruit of sin. So let's stop asking the question, why, and instead simply confess that it is so. We're wrong. And then live in the forgiveness of Christ as daily he would through his Spirit make us right. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.